Okay, let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 9, please. Matthew chapter 9. And you can tell by the hymns, the songs, the worship songs that we sang this morning, that we are going to talk about open my eyes. And this is our prayer for the Lord, for Him to open our eyes. And we're going to see the thrust of this message, what the content is, and what I believe that God wants, a place that God wants to take us collectively as a church here in Locust Grove into our ability to trust God with even a greater level of trust and a greater level of faith. We were talking in Sunday school class that, Jesus spoke of faith not as those who just had faith and those who did not have faith, but Jesus spoke of different levels of faith. He spoke to his disciples and he said, "You guys have very little faith. Oh, ye of little faith." Told them that when they awakened Jesus in the boat when it was storming, and Peter said, "Lord, don't you care that we're going to sink?" Jesus calmed, spoke to the winds, spoke to the rain, and calmed them down. And he turned to his disciples and he said, "Oh, ye of little faith." What was Jesus saying? Could you not have trusted that we were going to make it through the storm? You did not have a lot of faith in me, is what Jesus was telling his disciples. What about the nine lepers that, or the ten lepers rather, that went to Jesus for healing, and they all left, but only one returned to give Jesus thanks. And Jesus said, "Your faith has made you well." So he speaks of little faith. He speaks of faith. And what about those few people, the Canaanite woman, the Roman centurion, who had a servant that was deathly ill? And they said, "Jesus, just speak the word. You don't even have to come and lay hands on my servant. Or Jesus, just say the word and my daughter will be healed." And Jesus was astonished by how great a faith these very few people had. Jesus says, "I have not seen this great a faith in all of Israel." In other words, the people that should have had this great a faith don't. And the people that really, for all intents and purposes, should not have this great a faith do. So he spoke of faith as in little faith, faith, great faith. Now, church family, I believe that God wants to take us wherever we're at, whether in the little faith department, let me say here, to disarm all of us now. There have been many times in my life that I've been in the little faith department. And can anybody raise your hand and say, yes, I've been in the little faith department. But how many of y'all know that we please God by going from little faith to great faith? Amen? Amen? All righty. So Matthew chapter 9, have you found that verse of scripture? We're going to jump into verse 27. Notice here, very interesting story. It's only a couple verses long. When Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying out, saying, "Son of David, have mercy on us." And when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, "Do you believe that I'm able to do this?" They said to him, "Yes, Lord." Then Jesus touched their eyes, saying, "According to your faith, let it be to you." And their eyes were open, and Jesus sternly warned them, saying, "See that no one knows it." Notice the sequence of events. These men cried out for what? They cried out for mercy, but what did they want happen to them? They wanted their sight. They wanted healing for their sight. They wanted vision. They wanted the ability to see, didn't they? They wanted the ability to see. And Jesus said, Jesus kind of turned the whole situation around on them, and he says, "I'll tell you what, guys, you'll be able to see if you believe. Do you believe that you'll be able to see?" And what did they say? "Yes, Lord, we believe, we will see." And then Jesus followed up with an astounding statement that I think many believers read through it and not stop and think about the significance and the ramifications of Jesus' statement. He said, it's going to be done unto you according to your what? Is it according to your service for me? How faithful you are to me? Yes or no? How much you attend church? Please attend church. No. How long you've been a believer? How long you cry and weep and grovel and beg in prayer? According to what will it be done to these blind men? Faith. According to your level of faith. Now, let's stop there and let's think about this. Church family, I'm going to make a profound statement. It's going to be a whopper of a statement that it has got to be received by faith. Ultimately, in your life and my life, it will be done unto us according to our faith. Well, Joe, you don't understand. I've been serving the Lord. I've been travailing. I've been serving the Lord tirelessly for 50 years, and I have not seen Him do anything. Ultimately, in your life, it will not be done unto you according to how long you have served the Lord. It'll be done unto you according to your faith. So if that is true, and I believe, because Jesus told the blind men that, I do believe that it's also true of you and me, then we have to ask ourselves, if God's going to deal with us according to our level of faith, then it behooves us to ask ourselves, am I in the little faith department, am I in the faith department, or am I in the great faith department? It is done unto us according to our faith, ultimately in our relationship with God. Have we stopped to think about that? You know, there was a time for the longest time in my faith journey and my relationship with God, I kind of got angry at guys that flaunted their blessings. Oh, look at how the Lord's blessing you. I'm like, well, who do you think you are now? You think you're sitting at the Father's right hand next to Jesus? You know, I would get bitter. I'm not lying to you. I would get bitter at somebody else's blessings. What I didn't realize is my faith was in the little faith department and not in the great faith department like their faith. But Pastor Joe, I once heard somebody say that God shows no partiality. God does not show any partiality, right? What he bless one with, he wants to bless all of his children with. Do you believe that? The same blessings he has for one, he has for all. But how many of us know that it takes faith to receive those blessings? And this is where the rub comes in, church family, is when one person receives because they're living in the great faith department, and another person does not receive because they're living in the little faith department, then it gets to be tough. And that person living in the little faith department has a choice. Am I going to move on up like the Jeffersons to the east side? To a deluxe apartment in the sky. We're moving on up, moving on up. I'm just faking a tambourine. To the east side. We finally got a piece. Sing it with me, church. Of the pie. God is good. All the time. Thank you. Listen, church family, do we have a choice? Will we grow bitter because we don't have what they have? Or will we say, why not believe God for myself? Right? I mean, remember the story of the prodigal son? That older brother was fuming because the younger brother finally came home. And the father threw a party for him. Remember the words of the older brother when he talked to his father somewhat disrespectfully? He said, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and you have not so much even killed a young goat for me. And this son of yours, not brother of mine, this son of yours comes out by living with hookers. Come on, somebody. That's the way it reads in the Bible, Luke 15. Riotous living. He wastes all your money. He comes home and you kill the fattened calf for him. You give him the most you could possibly give him. And you've never killed a young goat for me. What were the father's words? He said, "Son, all that I have is yours." Do we want to be like the older brother? Yoo-hoo. How many of y'all know that all that the father had was as much the older brothers as it was the younger brothers? And in fact, truth be told, twice of what the father had belonged to the older brother, because the firstborn always received the double portion. Twice as much. And he didn't know it. I wonder how many of us as believers don't know it. That all of God's blessings are as much ours as they are somebody else's, but we have not chosen to believe that they belong to us. Can I get an amen on that note, please? Amen? Listen, we have just, and so we sink our heels, we grow bitter, and listen, get ready for this. Who has found out that in, even in the Christian life, that misery loves company? Because I can't have it, then you can't have it. Yoo-hoo. They have this crabby mentality that they are the experts of God. Well, Joe, you have to understand, son. I remember when I was young in ministry, how many older guys that were jaded, that were cynical, that did not believe in the power of God, did not believe in the goodness of God, that tried to talk me out of my blessings at that time in my life. You'll understand, young man, I've walked with Jesus for 60 years, and I'm telling you that all you talk about prayer and faith, that's all a pipe dream, son. You're going to understand you're living in the real world. I wish I had a dollar for every person. Shoot, I'd have me enough money for us to go to Ireland. These know-it-alls, these experts, they're going to try to talk you out of your faith. Who has found out with me, church family, that sometimes the crowd will tell you to sit down, shut up, and be quiet? What about the blind men? Speaking of blind men, there were two blind men on the roadside, or blind Bartimaeus. Yeah, there were two, but one of the Gospels emphasizes just Bartimaeus. And he was crying out to the Lord, "Lord, have mercy on me. Restore my eyesight." And what did the crowd say? "Sit down, be quiet, and shut up." Didn't they? It proves my point. There's going to be people, when you step out in faith, church family, there's going to be people that are going to swoon in like vultures and try to say, "No, stop it, time out. You're going to embarrass yourself." I've seen it happen time and time again. People step out in faith. You're just going to see that you're out on a broken limb. And then when God comes through for you, "Oh, it was just mere luck, mere coincidence." Well, baby, there ain't no evidence enough to convince you that God can do the impossible. Right, church family? Listen, our God is a great God. He'll move mountains. I remember I had the first pastor that hired me straight out of college was a pastor in New Mexico, Farmington, New Mexico, the Foursquare area. And he said he had adopted two kids, because at the time when he and his wife were young, they could not have kids. So they adopted two kids in Mexico, and a guy, a boy and a girl. And I know that because at that time they were in my youth group. And the pastor talked to me that at the time when he was a missionary in Mexico, and so they found these two children that the parents did not want down there. And so he wanted us to begin the process legally to adopt them in Mexico. But there were laws in Mexico at that time in the late 70s that no American citizen could come down and adopt Mexican children and take them back to the States. And this man prayed. This man prayed for God to make a way where no way seemed to be. Who believes with me this morning that God is able to make a way where no way seems to exist? Amen. Jesus said, I am the way. And so he prayed, and you know what? Not long after that, he said it was a couple months, American citizens could adopt Mexican children and take them up to the United States. And this father always reminded his son, he said, son, if you ever have doubts about God's goodness and God's power, just remember that God changed the entire laws of a country to get you to be my son. Who believes this stuff? Amen. I mean, let's go beyond the little, let's post Ephesians 3:20 on a little magnet in our refrigerator door. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or dare to imagine. Blah, blah, blah. It's good. Sounds great. But when the chips are down, do you believe it? Amen. Thank you, Miss Robin. I've lived in the department of little faith. I'm no longer going back. Let me give you one example. During Sunday school class, I gave many examples of the way God has come through in big ways, big ways. When we were in Kansas, my family and me, when we lived in Kansas and we felt that our time there was coming to a close, we had been there 8 years, and we felt like the Lord was going to move us to Illinois. The Lord had placed the state of Illinois in our hearts. I know. I feel like a missionary. Some of you are thinking, why would you people are exiting Illinois? Why would you want to know? Listen, we're happy here. Little did we know that at that time, my firstborn daughter was so crippled over with scoliosis, she was hunched over. I did not notice it. My wife at the time did not notice it. So when we moved to Illinois, they have to do a physical in the state of Illinois for the state of Illinois. They didn't go off of the physical they had done for her in Kansas. And when they did the physical, they noticed that her spine was in the curvature of a letter S. I mean, it was, if you saw the x-ray, it was like this. It went like this, like this. We went to the doctor. They said, you need to go to a specialist. We went to a specialist, they said, she's going to require surgery. We're going to have to straighten that out, put two bars. It's going to be like a 12-hour surgery. And so, we were left to pray. Someone in the church that we served at that time said, hey, I've got connections to this children's hospital where they won't charge you anything. And we went, we applied, they passed us very quickly. Normally it takes months, but because the need was so urgent, they expedited the process. I remember when my daughter had surgery, the doctor came to see her, and this is why I tell all of this. The doctor said, he was talking to me and my ex-wife and my firstborn daughter. He said, listen, my name is Dr. Lenke, and I am the world's most renowned surgeon on spinal difficulties. And it impressed my consciousness so much that God moved us from Kansas to Illinois to only be 90 miles away in St. Louis from the world's best doctor to do a very delicate surgery. Let me ask you guys, is that God? Yes. Baby, I've been walking with Jesus long enough. There ain't no such thing as coincidence. There's providence. I've always told my daughter, just remember, Sophia, God used the world's best doctor to correct your spinal curvature, your scoliosis. My friends, it's time that we get out of the nest. It's time that we take the training wheels off. Ultimately, in our lives, it's going to be done unto us according to our what? Faith. Another point is that faith gives us vision. Right? If we have little faith, we're going to have very little vision. If we have faith, we're going to have vision. If we have great faith, what kind of vision are we going to have? Great vision. I'm at a point in my relationship with God that I put nothing past Him. Nothing. He is able, church family, to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ever dare to ask or even imagine. Now, speaking of vision, let me talk a little bit of, you know, a couple months ago or about a month and a half ago, we talked about vision for this church. We talked about that scripture in the book of Zechariah, chapter, I want to say 11, verse 16, I think it is, that talked about, you know, God will raise up shepherds to seek out the lost, seek out the young, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And a couple weeks ago, we had a rollout meeting on a Sunday evening. So I want to spread this information yet again on a Sunday morning. You know, one of the emphases of that verse was that a good shepherd will seek out the young. I believe that that verse also means two things, two different things. That it means that we seek out the young in Christ, the young in the faith. And we want to help them grow in their faith. Amen? That is a part of the mandate in that Zechariah verse. But I also believe with all my heart that our church needs to invest in our young people as well. Listen, we've got to have a vision for the future of this church and not live for today. And so, like, let's say 5 years down the road, where do we want to be? 5 years down the road, do we want to be a church where there's no youth? I don't want that. 5 years down the road, I want to see a living, thriving youth group in this church. And I'm telling you, church family, it is possible and it can be done. To me, this is important. To me, if we lose our young families and the kids grow, you know, they're going to grow up and they're going to, if they're going to move on, I still want us to have a thriving youth group. And be like that unfaithful, wicked servant that digs a hole in the ground and buries his talent?
No.
Thank you. We're going to put it to use for God's kingdom. At the end of the day, church family, we're not going to stand before Jesus and Jesus is going to ask us, I hope you didn't touch that money. Did you touch that money? No, Lord. Well done, good and faithful servant. Because that money's not going to do you any good in heaven.
Amen.
Luke 16 says that when we give to the Lord's work, that people will welcome us in their habitations in heaven and thank us for our giving to the Lord with earthly resources to get them into heaven, into their eternal abode. It's time, church family, that we take a step of faith. Let's take that step of faith for the sake of our youth. It is outreach. Let's be like those two lepers at the gate of Samaria when there was a widespread famine. You can find this in the Bible, the Old Testament. And you know, one day, one of them got tired. He said, why are we just sitting here and dying when the enemy had all the goods, all the food inside of the city of Samaria in the camp? And he's like, here we are dying. You know, why don't we just go and surrender ourselves to the army? At least they'll have mercy on us and they'll feed us and we won't be starving. And they said, if they kill us, they kill us. At least they put us out of our misery. And you know what? They got up and went into the camp. And when they were walking into the camp, the Lord made their footsteps sound like the roaring of an army coming against those people. So they took off and left all their riches and all the food. And the Bible says these two lepers feasted sumptuously for days because they were willing to risk. Church family, it's time for us to go into great faith department. If you believe that, would you say amen?
Amen.